April 1, 2023. It's a Watt from Pedro Show.
Like Elvis said, Let's be friends.
For Pedro Show. Happy Saturday. Happy D Boone birthday. We started off with John Coltrane, Miles Davis doing Budo. And then the Resurrectionist with Tip Top Tap. Because of them Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention I got with me. Brother Joe Cannon from Milwaukee. Welcome aboard, Joe.
Oh. Hi.
Okay.
Thanks for having me on.
Absolute. We got to give right away credit to Howard for the connect. Correct?
Yep.
Love you, Howard. So, please, because I want to learn about your music. What led to this fucking Resurrectionist music? So, let's try to go as far back as you can. Please bring your earliest musical memory, Joe.
My earliest musical memory? probably.
Remember, it's a Watt for Pedro Show. There's no hard questions. There's no wrong answers.
You know, I had a flashback to, like, listening to the radio when I was real young, and I believe it was, did Phil Collins do Illegal Alien?
And I remember when he was the drummer Genesis. He took over the singer, huh?
Yeah, no, I have this vaguest memory of, like, hearing that on the radio and just being perplexed.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say. They turned into a huge, like, radio arena rock band, right?
Not
really the prog guys, but I think it was same guys, but the music got a little more different.
You could say that. So that is my earliest musical memory. That's really strange.
It's hearing Genesis, the Merce version of Genesis on the radio. Okay, let me ask you this. The pad you grew up in, was there musical instruments?
Piano. Not a lot. Neither of my parents were very musically inclined.
Well, let me, since you mentioned the piano, I have many guests on the show. It almost drove them away from music itself, the experience of the piano lessons. Did you have to go through that, Joe?
I did. But then I had a very smart piano teacher who realized that I'd rather be playing guitar and told me that and told my parents that. So,
not many lessons on the piano then.
I did it for a while and it helped me out. It's like, it made it so that like I visualize music a little bit differently because I can see it sort of laid out on a keyboard.
In the older days, piano was in the rhythm section with the guitar and the drums and the bass because they're all trying to keep up with the fucking horns. No amplifiers yet, right? Mm-hmm. Even me and D Boone in the 70s, we knew, we live in the Proj here in Pedro, and there was no Casios yet. Keyboards were like $400, some shit like that.
Right.
Yeah, trippy about that. So you go to the guitar. Well, let me ask you first.
Yeah.
This. Now, the first record you bought with your own money.
It was the cassette tape.
Yeah, that's okay.
The first piece of music that I bought with my own money was the album Cargo by Men at Work. Okay. I think it was 1981.
And what about first gig you saw?
First gig I saw was the Violent Femmes and the Pogues.
Okay.
With a Mojo Nixon opening.
You know what? I think fucking Violent Femmes are Milwaukee.
They are.
Yeah.
But I wasn't, I had no idea I would end up living in Milwaukee. I grew up in Maryland, just outside of D.C.
Okay, so all this shit's happening in Maryland. Okay, understood.
Yeah, understood.
Yeah,
I lived in Maryland until 1990.
And kind of close to D.C. area, right?
Yeah, just the Maryland suburbs, like Rockville.
Well, there's a little, like, tentacle of Maryland that goes, like, along Pennsylvania and shit.
Yeah, that's that part of Maryland that's in West Virginia.
Yeah. Right, only state created by a civil war.
Yeah, I know.
But anyway, Harper's Ferry and all that.
Right.
Let me ask you about grade school. Were you in the marching band or the choir?
No. I didn't go to a grade school large enough to have a marching band. I played in like a little like grade school orchestra. I played clarinet.
What did you play? Clarinet? Licorice stick.
Yeah, I still have the clarinet that I played. This is like terrible plastic thing.
Oh, was it wood? Okay.
It was like one of those little student trainer ones. You know, it was a full size clarinet, but it was just, you know, not of good quality because
I heard the plastic ones were actually for the marching band because they weighed less. There's a famous record live at Massey Hall with Charlie Mingus, Max Roach, and. Charlie Parker's playing a white plastic horn. I guess he pawned his horn. He's playing one of these marching horns.
Huh.
Yeah. So, okay. So, how long did you do that clarinet?
Only a couple of years. I think it was something like fourth to sixth grade or something.
Okay. And tell me how, now, the guitar thing was, you know, the teacher hipped your parents to that. So what did they do? Did they buy you a guitar, or did you buy one yourself?
I think I bought one myself. So I took guitar lessons when I was really young and didn't like it. My hands were too small to really do anything with the frets. But then when I came back to it in high school, I got myself a little like a Squire Stratocaster and a little Roland amp and –
Because when you were a boy, it was probably an acoustic guitar, right?
Well, it was originally an acoustic, but when I played as a very young kid, it was a nylon string acoustic.
Yeah, I want to share this with you, because a lot of the cats, when their first guitars are these acoustic guitars, which sound nothing like the records they're listening to, they're wondering what...
Yeah, exactly. That was one of the reasons why I was like, oh, I don't like this. And then when I got an electric guitar in high school and started playing it, you know,
Let me ask you about the, not after school, I graduate, but in the afternoon. What about the garage band, this kind of experience? Garage band, basement band, bedroom band, you do that?
Only a very little bit. I didn't really start playing in bands until college.
Okay. And did you go to college for music?
No. I went to a college. I went to Notre Dame, got a psychology and philosophy degree. But there was this very strange kind of ferment happening in South Bend, because in the early 90s there were no venues at all for underground music. Let me tell you, Joe,
I tried to play South Bend many times, but there was no fucking place to play.
I wish you had known us, because I drove up to see Firehose in 1991 when y'all played at the Kalamazoo State Theater.
I remember that gig. It was with Melvins.
No, this was the one with Run Westy Run.
Oh, okay. I remember that one, too. But we also played the State Theater with Melvins.
Oh, I wish I had seen that.
Yeah, they had a lady bass player then.
Huh.
it's hard for me to remember which phases different people are in. But I was in the fire hose phase. I remember that part. But that's in the middle of fucking Michigan.
It's only about an hour from South Bend.
Okay.
The South Bend is like right on the tippy top, like the far northern edge of Indiana.
Well, top of it, think north is the top.
No, so South Bend is like 6 miles from the Michigan border.
Yeah. I know about this when you're going across, but you would figure any college would have a fucking scene to play, especially something like Notre Dame.
Yeah, we sort of did, but we created it ourselves, and there was only, you know, and so, like, our basements were the primary venues.
Oh, okay.
We had great shows. Yeah. We had Tree People play, we had Unwound come through, we had the Grifters, you know, it was all this stuff happening, like, in my living room.
I think Grifters, they were Memphis, and I think those other two bands were, like, Northwest, Pacific Northwest.
Yes.
Here, you gave me fucking two versions of this. Water dollars. So I'm going to play the 2019 one first, then the 21.
Okay, great.
Get your hands in there and feel what the people are all about. Michael Gilles Tiprécé. Tiprécé d'aller pisser dans les cyprès, cyprès du précipice. Où est le mystère? Où est le mystère? Quand brûle mystère, descendre d'enfer dans le Finistère. Ils décidèrent de partir loin d'ici, les Moulineaux, dans le Morbihan ou bien les Côtes d'Armor. Un ailleurs meilleur, très d'ailleurs.
Me, I'm doing Thank you.
Watch for Pedro Show. That chunk of music started off with Resurrection. It's doing the 2019 version of Water Dollars. Then we had John Chuchavera. John Chuch did a, he sampled some of the D-Boom from my Hoop page and made a little tune, Get Your Hands, and D-Boom's talking about getting your hands dirty, you know, working on a car motor, right? Changing the oil. But he's using it for an analogy about, yeah, don't keep everything a concept, people. Get your hands dirty with some reality on the dealio. Then we had Loss. We battle him for the destruction of fascism. This is a compilation for this Ukrainian situation. TQURK, I think. UKR, yeah. Q2UKR is the name of this. And in fact, we're going to have a Randolph Carter on Graham Monday. The guys who put that thing together, they're going to be on the show. Nacho Naamid with God Kept the Truth of Life. Soul Carlos, brand new, fair said about it, Lyon, France, a new proj. They got a bass, but I still like it. Armor, Monde UFO, or UFO, government employee, Marcus H. with Spring on the Impossible Planet, and then Resurrectionist again, people, with the 2021 edition of Water Dollars. Okay, back to your journey there, Joe. So you're putting together gigs in the basement. Now, what kind of band are you in? Because you're not just putting on shows, you're also playing the shows, right?
Right, yeah, exactly. I got to open for Unwound, so I was playing. I had the main band that I played in during college was a band called Emily, and it was there was three of us, just a three piece trio. We played kind of.
It was a three piece trio.
Yeah.
Exactly. What's the other guys?
Yeah, as opposed to all them seven-piece trios.
No. You know, I think sometimes it's just the sound of phrases. Like, people say assless chaps. Like, what other kind are there?
Exactly.
Anyway, Emily. How's Emily get together?
Oh, boy. I don't know if I remember exactly.
Come on, origin myth. No, because I think it's interesting because it's trippy how fucking bands come together, right? They're usually not really that planned out.
Right. I'm trying to remember because, like, early in college, I played in a band called Smear, which then got renamed to Mr. Head. And at some point, I started playing with my friends Doug and Mike.
Well, let me ask you this, Joe. Were you like the principal or were you the joiner?
In Emily, I was, I started the band.
Okay. That's pretty much a principal.
Yeah.
Okay. But the bands before that, you were a joiner.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. You should put in some time. You know, life's about taking turns anyway. So you join, you start, you join, you start. Okay. Yeah. So Emily. Can you remember the first Emily gig? Was it one of these basement shows?
It was either that or there was this coffee house on the campus of the little college across the street from Notre Dame, St. Mary's, that had shows. And I think it might have been there, a place called Dalloway's Coffee House.
So there was a venue in South Bend.
But it was a little coffee house on a campus.
Okay,
it wasn't a regular venue.
I'm just busting your balls here, Joe. You know, you're doing fine. So I'm interested in the material. What were you? Because like when me and D Boone started playing together, we were trying to copy songs off records. What's Emily doing?
You know, I was never very good at that.
I meant a lot of cats
where I started writing my own music because I couldn't learn anybody else's.
No, I meant a lot of cats in the movement were like that, like Greg Ginn, you know? I couldn't believe that he didn't copy songs except for Louie. Yeah, because that was a new thing, because 70s was not like that.
Yeah.
In fact, we didn't know anybody in Pedro in the 70s that wrote their own fucking songs.
I sometimes wish I could do covers because there's always a lot of covers I want to do, but then I get down to trying to learn how to play them, and I'm like, and I get frustrated and just start working on my own stuff again.
Let me ask you this, Joe, then. Can you remember the first song you wrote?
Oh, very, very, very vaguely. And I don't remember what it was about. I do remember that it involved me, like, fiddling about with an A minor chord. Okay. That is all I remember.
I only wrote one song as a teenager. It was called Mr. Bass King Outer Space. Something about a bass solo on stage blowing away the rest of the band. Obviously, Wadhead issues. But it wasn't until the movement, and then the first batch and the reaction, oh my God, they were the worst. Dee Boone wouldn't even write songs for that band. It was so bad. So Emily is, the materials, the majority of your compositions.
Well, when we got in, you know, I started the band and I was the one writing all the lyrics. But the actual process of writing the music was collaborative.
Okay.
Like, it was one of those bands where we'd just get together in the same room and somebody'd start playing something, and then we'd just kind of, like, go from there.
Okay. But then you'd, like, kind of, you know, make a canon out of it by giving words and more structure, form, a title.
Exactly.
Yeah. Can you remember the first Emily gig?
I think it was that coffee house gig.
Yeah. What do you think, it was a success or a failure?
Ooh, the first one? I have no idea.
Have the first one once. That's why I asked that.
Right. Well, I mean, we continued playing.
Okay.
So
that's kind of a failure. I mean, you know, like shit get thrown. I've had so much shit thrown at me, Joe, over the years. So that's why I always ask that.
Yeah, I think the failure condition for this crew would have been more just like people being bored or not showing up. It wasn't a particularly rowdy bunch in that respect.
Okay, and does this band record? Does this band go on tour?
We did. We recorded a couple of records. We had minor success in that sort of like hardcore underground distribution network that was happening in the 90s. Like, we got distributed by Ebullition and got written up in some of the hardcore zines. We toured a few times, probably played a total of about 12 to 15 shows outside of Indiana.
No California?
No, we didn't get that far.
Past the Rockies.
It was all East Coast and Midwest.
Okay, that's all right. Actually, there's a lot of good bands to play where you're located. Ain't that far.
Oh yeah. It's a good area. This whole like Milwaukee Chicago corridor is close to a lot of things.
The weather can get a little rough. Okay.
It can.
Okay. So what happens with Emily?
We play it, basically. We all graduated, and I had some ideas about bringing the band to Chicago. So I graduated, and then I ended up going to Northwestern for a graduate school. And I had ideas about bringing the band with me, but the other two members ended up, you know, living other kinds of lives.
No, there's a lot of guests on the show. Their bands only last like the length of their college thing.
Yeah, this was one of those that I stayed a few years after I graduated because the other guys in the band were younger than me.
Yeah.
But then when they graduated, they ended up, you know, moving to other places.
Right,
both of them still play music, but not as actively as I do.
Yeah. Okay. And so you go to Northwest, you, that's a whole different group of people. Do you start playing with people there?
I did. I wasn't playing actively for a couple of years, like the first few years of graduate school, but around like 98 or 99 or so, I started getting restless again and started playing. For a while, I played, as a solo artist. I had this project called The Intelligibles.
And it was man alone.
Yeah, it was just me with a guitar.
Yeah. Look, I got to stop us right now just for a little brief pause because we're at the end of the first hour, April 1st, right. 2023 edition. Wap Peters, a special guest, Joe Cannon. Hold tight for hour two. April 1st, 2023. It's the second hour of the Wap for Pedro show.
über die Straßenbahnen hell. Dich im Arm, da schlug der Blitz ein.
Hiroshima, wie schön es war. Hiroshima, wie schön es war.
Wir vertraulten Arm in Arm. Wir waren so glücklich. Verdammt. Glücklich.
Bye.
work real hard and you work real smart. Just might end up where you thought you would start. Work real hard and you pay your dues. Might not have to choose.
Pedro, shall we start off the second hour? Resurrectionist with the new winner, Alexander Hacka, continuing with his big old piece involving an imaginary young man in Berlin with Hiroshima 2. Andre Vita out of Berlin, also U.S. Expatriate, right? Expat. Celeste. What, there's the Stooges songs with a Celeste. It was kind of keyboard people. Oh, yeah, Penetration. Cowboy Flying Saucer after that with Johnny Remember Me. This is more from that Ukrainian benefit comp. Composure number 3 from SDEM. And then finally, Resurrectionists with Great Place. Resurrect. We had John Truby on the show, you know, that blind man penis. The chorus is, you know, blind man's penis is erect because he's blind. Actually, that ain't him. He sent the lyrics in to those Nashville companies. You know, you send them words and they make a song out of it. Yeah, so he hates that claim to fame. But interesting guest, John Truby. Have him back on in July, I mean. Because he had, like, 5 pages worth of stories he said he didn't get a chance to complete. So, sorry, John, we'll get to it. Okay, but back to your story there, Joe. So, yeah. So you start playing Man Alone.
Yeah.
And what's this project called? Because you didn't give me any of this music.
No, I didn't.
You also didn't give me any Emily.
No. I just the stuff that I gave you was all it was all Resurrectionists.
Yeah, which is
kind of rocked the history of that band. My history of playing music goes back like 30 years. I wasn't even gonna try.
Okay, but it's good to talk a little about it so people know where you're from.
Oh, definitely. I'm enjoying talking about it. I would have quailed at trying to put together a playlist of it.
Okay. So how long does this Man Alone band last?
Oh, I probably did it for about 2 years, because then I started playing with some friends of mine. I was sort of playing at the same time in two different bands after that. One was a garage punk band called The Afflictions, and the other was kind of like a mathy kind of band called Check Engine.
And in both these bands, you're a joiner. You're not a starter.
Afflictions, I was a joiner. Check Engine, I put it together with my friend, the late lamented Steve Sostak, and I put together Check Engine because we both went to college together in Notre Dame, and we had played like in this sort of like pickup band called Check Engine, which like played one show, and then we resurrected the name and started playing together again. With some Chicago heavyweights, including the fellow that he was playing with in his other band, or his main band called Sweet Bullet Like Johnny.
And who is that?
Steve Sostak.
Oh yeah, Steve Sostak. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
God, losing people's the hardest thing. I never get used to it.
It is.
And so, what's the trajectory of these two projects? Do they tour? Do they make recordings?
Yes, Check Engine had one album, came out on Southern Records in I think 2001, and we toured a number of times. The Afflictions put out an EP and a full length on small labels, and we toured a bit too. These two bands actually got out to the West Coast a couple of times.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. Was that your first time out here?
Yeah, I think it was.
All right.
Yeah.
Who did
like
most
early 2000s playing with those two bands?
Who did most of driving?
With Check Engine, I think it was shared. And then with the Afflictions, our sax player was like our sax player would get car sick if she didn't drive, and so she did most of the driving, which was okay with us.
Yeah, you're holding on to the wheel. So you don't have to bounce around.
People
get sick to their stomach trying to read a book in a fuck because they don't know how to bob the book.
Right.
We get something called sea legs. You do this shit long enough. If you call a tour more than a month, I've done 67. Only 67 more to go. But I asked you that, Joe, because I don't think people, East Coast especially, but Midwest too, how fucking far out the West is.
Yes.
Well, it's a hell ride.
It really is. It's to get from Chicago to the West Coast is like 30 hours.
Do you know the old route, right? That's Route 66, US 66.
Yeah.
It ended at like Sunset Boulevard and Pacific Coast Highway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, enough about that. I'm going to play some more Resurrectionists, and then we're going to get into how this fucking band got going.
All right.
Okay, let's listen to The Rest Cure.
Death mask. forgotten how to stop. need coffin-like effects. Who cursed through sludge to long the haunting glare, we turned our backs, and towards our distant vessel began to trudge. Men marched to sleep. Many had lost their boots, but lived on bloodshod. All went lame, all blind, drunk with tea, deaf even to the hoots of gas shells, dropping softly behind. Gas, gas, quick boys, an ecstasy of fumbling, fitting the clumsy helmets just in time. But someone still was yelling out and stumbling, and floundering like a man in a wire of time. Dim through the misty panes and thick green light, as under a green sea I saw him. In all my dreams before my helpless sight, he plunges at me, gutting, choking, drowning. If in some strange place, behind the wagon that we flung, and watch the white eyes grinding in his race, his hanging face like a yellow sea of skin, you could hear an every jolt of blood come gargling over the long, corrupted bones, obscene as cancer, bitter as the blood of vile, incurable sores on innocent tongues. My friend, you would not tell in such high zest to children ardent for some desperate glory the old lie. Doce et decorum est pro patria mori.
Walk for Pedro show. That chunk of music started with Resurrectionists, like all this music, this edition. Tip Tap, well, The Rescuer. And then Tip Tap from Inyan after that. Questions, Kittens Ask Questions, the remix of Peer. Again, more songs from that comp, Ukrainian situation. Post Them to Me, If They Make It Here Will Be a Measurement of Us, Spike Dot. How Sweet and Fitting It Is to Die for One's Country, The Sentimental Witches. And finally, Resurrectionists with I Need a Barber. Yeah, you got a beard, right?
I do. I do. I tripped up a little bit around the new year.
I used to wear beards on tour because I hate shaving on tour, but I hate beards too. But so the curse. So the arc of these two bands?
They run out of gas? Yeah, so both of those Check Engine ended probably around 2004, if I'm remembering correctly. And then The Afflictions kind of ran until I moved out of Chicago. I was playing in another band with Steve after Check Engine called Early Risers, which was the first time I played banjo in a band.
Banjo.
Yeah.
Did you teach yourself?
Yeah, I did.
I got to tell you.
Yeah.
Banjo and guitar ain't really that far removed. And
no.
In fact, minstrel, which a lot of rock and roll and country music, if you read the Nick Tosh's book, The Twisted Roots, it comes out of banjo. In fact, open string tuning, Keith Richards uses that for Rolling Stone shit.
Yeah,
so I think people get this idea that banjo is just this one kind of shtick, kind of kitsch, but it's not. It's actually was a big part of the early days.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I picked it up. So the singer of the Afflictions used to work at Specimen, the luthier in Chicago, and called me up one day and was like, "Hey Joe, they've got this K banjo they want $300 for." And I was like, "I'll be there." And so I picked it up and I started playing it and I kind of fell in love with it and have kind of alternated between guitar and banjo ever since. I did a little solo project with the banjo called Marylander that only played a couple of shows. And then I was playing with Steve and the keys player from the Afflictions was in Early Risers as was Bob and Zach from the Iowa City band 10 Grand was our rhythm section. So it was a banjo, saxophone, keys, and the rhythm section of an Iowa City hardcore band.
Whoa, that's a trip.
It was a lot of fun. We recorded some stuff, and it was really good,
Hawkeyes,
but we never released it.
Hawkeyes, Sam Locke Ward's Iowa City. You know, I got to tell you, it's a trip about that stuff. You know, Keith Richard, that's why his guitars are five strings, right? I'm telling you.
I knew that he played an altered tuning, but I didn't know it was only five strings.
I think he picked it up from fucking Rye Cooter, because Rye Cooter claims to have written Brown Sugar and that shit, Honky Tonk.
Oh, really?
I wouldn't doubt it, because Keith's got kind of a reputation for doing. Yeah, come on, sue me. Try it.
Right.
But anyway. This thing runs out of gas, you know, you're getting into these other, the banjo and all this, but the group situation is going. So is this, does Resurrectionist come from the ashes of this stuff?
No, so when I finished graduate school, I lived in Idaho for a year. So I moved from Chicago, lived in Idaho for a year, so I was trying to have an academic career. It didn't pan out.
Who's the band in Boise? Built to Spill.
Yeah. I wasn't in Boise. I was in Moscow, which is in the northern
part.
Way up north,
yeah.
Coeur d'Alene. Yeah, Coeur d'Alene's like an hour, I think, north of Moscow.
I'll tell you, there's a fucked up pass there. If you hit it the wrong time of year, you ain't getting through. I know about it.
Yeah. Yeah,
I know about that up there.
Yeah, so I lived in Moscow for a year, taught at the University of Idaho for a year, and then I got it. That was only a 1-year job. I didn't really play
music.
I'm
gonna hold you there because we're at the end of the second hour. But we'll pick up on the Resurrections creation its origin story next hour. People, second hour, April 1, 2023. This is what Pedro Show special guest Joe Cannon. Hold tight for hour three. April 1, 2023. It's the third hour of the Watch for Pedro Show.
Classic dictionary of the vulgar tongue fell open and filled our lungs with the dust of affidavit. Come undone.
Yeah.
from Pedro Show. Start off the third hour with Resurrectionists doing classic Dictionary of the Vulgar Tone. Like Dante Alighieri writing the Commedia. He didn't use Latin, people. He used the vulgar tongue.
Right.
Vulgate. Joe Carducci calls this thing the Vulgate. The Nothing Ones after that with They Return, Polovox with Electronic, and Don't Want to Tell Them About a Girl, Resurrectionists. So now we're going to hear the Resurrectionists, how they came together. Please bring it, Joe.
Yeah, so I lived that year in Idaho. I didn't really play music that year. And then I got a job teaching at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee and moved to Milwaukee for that job. That was 2008. I was for like a year or so not really playing. And then I played for a few years in a band with my then wife called Lady Cannon. And then after that band and marriage ended, I played in a band called Work. And Work, the bassist of Work is the same fellow who plays bass with me now in Resurrectionists. Okay. Work put out two records, toured a little bit, and had a lot of fun.
And you would call Work a Milwaukee band?
Yes, yes.
And we've got to tell listeners, if your geography's off, Milwaukee's only about 100 miles from Chicago.
Yeah, it's even closer than that. It's more like 80. But, yeah, I'm actually going to drive down to Chicago and see a show tonight.
Okay, see that? So some people think, you know, the boonies are like Iowa's out. It ain't that far. The Quad Cities, right, they share borders and Moline and Davenport and that shit.
Iowa City, I think, is about a 4-hour drive from where I am.
See, right there, yeah. So that's what's good about touring, man. You get a sense of that, like I asked you about the Rockies and stuff. You get a sense of this thing.
Right,
you know,
right.
Sitting there with a remote control in your hand and watching the TV is a hard way to learn these kind of things, people. Get in a boat, start touring. So tell me about the first Resurrectionist gig. Well, you already got the bass man. How do you get the other cats in the band?
So the first version of Resurrectionists had a pedal steel player. I was trying to play with this cello player who I ended up not being able to play with. But I went and saw a band of his and met the drummer he was playing with. It was this band called Nutritious and Delicious. I liked the drum playing, and I enjoyed hanging out with their drummer, and so I asked him to join the band I was starting. So Jeff I had been playing with for years in Work, and I can't remember exactly how I met Gavin, the pedal steel player. Yeah, that all came together, and then we played for a while. So when I gave you that two versions of the same song, it was with the two different lineups. So, like, the first version of that song had the pedal steel, and the second version had my friend John, who we replaced the pedal steel player with in, like, late 2019 or something like that. I had known John from years of him playing in other bands and being like a booking agent and a sound guy. So I liked his way of thinking about music. So I added him in mainly because, you know, we had the great fortune of having this pedal steel player who was into weird rock music and willing to work for next to nothing. I didn't think I was going to find another one of those in Milwaukee after he moved to upstate New York. So I instead went the direction of having my friend who plays like wildly affected 12-string guitar and a Mellotron, brought him in, and which kind of completely changed how the band worked. Because, you know, sort of when you have a pedal steel player in your rock band, everything kind of becomes about this wild pedal steel thing that's happening. And so we sort of, you know, reimagined ourselves a bit more as like – somewhat psychedelic rock band, I guess.
Yeah. I met Sneaky Pete. There are so many possibilities with the pedal steel. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. It's just extremely hard to play, and
right,
so there's not
right,
very many
right.
people who play it.
Right. Nelson was saying, you know, he does lap steel right with that Wilco band, and he says it's nothing compared to the pedal. But
no.
And once the Stooges, we got to play with a song that James Williamson wrote for Ronnie. You gave me this Blue Henry.
Yes.
Okay, I want to play it.
Let's bleed out like roses, red like beets. Let's slip out from under their noses. Let's slip out from under their feet.
Oh,
Watt from Pedro show, the last music for this edition. Chunk of music started with Resurrectionists doing Blue Henry. Then Homo Hubris collab with Mandelbau doing Pulse Gyre. G-Y-R-E. Fuck, I don't know how to pronounce it. But it's my fault, not these people's fault. Don't blame them, people. Resurrection is finally with the Ghost this time. So, I'm assuming, which is dangerous, right? But there was at least two separate recording sessions with Resurrections.
For the album?
Well, one, because there was these two versions. One was with a wacky 12-string, and one's with a wacky pedal steel.
Yes. Yeah, so there are, in the set of music that I gave you, comes from three different records. The first one with the pedal steel was recorded. That stuff was recorded back in like probably early to mid 2019. And then, we re-recorded three of those songs, with John. So with the new lineup, kind of in preparation, sort of as we were writing new material and in preparation to start recording the album, that is just about to come out.
Yeah.
Now they're all ghosts.
In a way, that's what this fucking spiel is supposed to be about, this album that's just coming out. And when does it drop?
April 3rd.
Ah, 2 days, people.
Yeah.
And on a Bandcamp page or a label or what's up?
My friend and sometime bandmate, Conan Neutron.
Oh, he's been on the show a couple times. Good cat.
Yeah, yeah, I've played with him.
That's right, he's got a Milwaukee connect. He told me that.
Well, he lives in Milwaukee now.
Okay. More than a connect.
He used to be Oakland, but now he lives in Milwaukee.
Right, East Bay. So. And actually, I talked to him once when we were staying in Redondo Beach. I think the guy was floating around for a little while.
Yeah, he goes out to the West Coast. He goes out to, like, L.A. to record. I think he was just...
You know who he connected me with? The bass man from Devo.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Jerry.
Yeah, Jerry's been on Conan's podcast a number of times.
Yeah. I've never used it.
It's great. And I sometimes play with Secret Friends as part of their touring lineup, and we recorded one of the touring lineups of Secret Friends recorded as Action Chief. So we have
Because I've played some of it when he was on the show.
I'm in Action Chief.
Okay. I got to say, though, I've never used 21 years, 10 months of doing the show. I've never used that fucking P word for this show. But you said it for Conan's show, so that's okay. Now, what's your plans with the Resurrectionists?
Keep plugging along, write new music.
Right now. The record's going to come out on the 3rd, yes. 2 days. Yes. Are you going to do a tour?
We're gonna try to tour probably later in the year. I've been so fixated on getting this album finished and out. We're doing a record release show in a couple of weeks. And the other thing we haven't talked about is I had a video made for every song on this record.
Good.
And so I'm throwing a film fest. we're gonna have an event in town here in Milwaukee where we show all the videos. And then show other work by the artists who made the videos for us. So it was 9 songs, 6 different people made videos for us, including Conan. He made one.
That's
beautiful. So we're having the inaugural Resurrectionists Film Fest.
Is there a place people can go to on the internet that's got your music, Joe?
Yes, we have a Bandcamp page. You know, there's not a website.
Okay. I like the idea of everybody having their own website because it's like having your own fanzine. There's no filter.
Yeah, I agree.
That's okay. Maybe down the road you might want to do that. When you get the next batch of Resurrectionist recordings together, will you come back on the show so we can play it and talk about it?
I'd love to.
Yeah, really, because I'm interested in where this project is going to go. Okay, and... if you get out here in the West to tour this batch of tunes, please let me know so I can fucking get in the pit and start the shit.
I will, definitely.
Really big honor to have you aboard, Joe. Please keep on keeping on.
Thank you.
People, April 1, 2023 edition Wild for Pedro show. Happy B-Day, D-Boone. Keep your powder dry.